may look like a little different bottle than Jack Daniels to you, but the title of the message today is Booze Blues. Booze Blues. And just to spend some time thinking with you about the uncommon sense that's in the scriptures, particularly in the book of Proverbs. Before we get too far, some of the young people, the children that have been meeting with us here this morning, may want to go with Miss Lydia over here up to their class, kind of the kids' program. Some weren't able to do that earlier. So if you want to just follow Miss Lydia that direction, she's got a little Pied Piper kind of thing going there. Cool. In fact, maybe this verse, which is one of the Proverbs that is so strong about not being deceived, or the Bible says led astray, could be for us today maybe a memory verse. Would that work? Now, I know some of you are going to go, I don't do memory verses. Well, just humor me for just a little bit, Proverbs 21. Even if you just get that part down, Proverbs 21. Could you just repeat that with me? Proverbs 21. One more time. Proverbs 21. Now, the first phrase is what Chuck was talking about. Wine is a mocker. So let's repeat that with me. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. See, it's kind of poetic, isn't it? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. Can you keep up with me? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. One more time. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. See, you got it. Who said you couldn't memorize? Right? So from the beginning, Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Okay, we're not quite done. We got one more phrase. I know we have 30 seconds here, okay? And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Repeat that again. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. What's the it? Wine or strong drink. Yeah, booze. That's why we're talking about Booze Blues, right? One more time. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. So from the beginning, Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Hey, turn to somebody beside you and say, see, you can memorize. Okay, let's close in prayer. No. I'm just kidding. That just gets us warmed up, doesn't it? Because wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler, it teaches us, and especially when it says, he who is led astray, just like paper clips instead of candy, it can be that bait and switch and led astray. And that's what's going on in our culture today. Our culture, when you watch the Super Bowl ads, everybody says, well, what were the beer commercials? Because they are undoubtedly the best. They peg the meter. They're awesome. And our culture keeps telling us that it's not a mocker. It's not a brawler. There's no problem here. And yet, just to let you know, as I deal with ministry, I see the opposite. And we're going to dive in to see a little bit below the surface today to say, Lord, make us wise. Make us a wise people, making wise choices. You know, it's very personal for me. In my dad's family tree, almost the entire tree has been ill affected by alcohol and alcoholism. Four of my dad's brothers died of alcoholism. Well, those branches on the tree of my dad's heritage, agonizingly, painfully different. And I don't know why, my dad was the youngest. He saw kind of what was going on, and at an early age, I think he said like 7, he made a commitment. I mean, catch this as a little lad. Don't think the kids don't make life-changing decisions at early ages. He said, I'm never going to drink. I'm not going to let that affect me. His dad and lots of other family members, it had destroyed their lives. And he made a decision. This is before he became a Christian. In fact, I don't even know if he would have become a Christian had he gone the route of his brothers. I don't think he ever would have met my mom, who led him to Christ, had he gone that direction. And so as I look over that, I just go, wow, I'm really thankful my dad accepted Christ, but I'm really thankful he made a commitment early in his life that prepped him for accepting Christ. So I have a personal feeling about this. There's so huge wisdom and irony there. Now, as a lad, I ignored my dad's decision, and I said, party hardy. Junior high, there's years I don't remember because alcohol was so prevalent in my life. In fact, looking out over the charts of alcoholics, it wasn't hard to pick me out in the chart and say, whoa, you got a problem, buddy. You got a problem. And that was at an early age. That heritage, maybe it's hereditary, I don't know, but the proneness to that was so evident and so scary that's why I'm so passionate about it today. Now, add 40 years of ministry. And in almost every case where couples are breaking up, marriages are failing, kids are being abused, you start going through the list, you can just wait. Okay, where's alcohol or substance abuse going to rear its head? It's almost 100%. Now, marriages do break up occasionally without drug and alcohol abuse, but so seldom, it's amazing. What tool does Satan love to use the most in our culture and in our society? It's alcohol. It is the drug of choice. And if it's not alcohol, alcohol is the gateway to other, more even damaging drugs. So I can't emphasize enough the last part of this verse. He who is led astray by it is not wise. And didn't God call you and I to be the leaven, to be the influence, to be those who would call people to a wiser life, to a better engagement? It says, don't waste your life. Alcohol causes so many distresses. In fact, I'm going to go through four of them today, and they kind of go in increasingly important order. The first one is, alcohol can distress your finances. According to Proverbs, there's a key tie-in between alcohol and financial distress. Financial distress and alcohol are intricately tied. In fact, Proverbs 21:17 just says it this way: whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. There is a tie between alcohol and alcohol consumption and your finances. Employment issues so often revolve around alcohol and alcohol abuse. Now we've got these tests that we can do. We can show by a test, especially drugs, but also alcohol, whether alcohol is being abused in someone's life, and their employment can drastically be altered. I caught wind of this the other day. There was a man in the front of the line in Spokane wanting to be the first one to buy marijuana from the first store that was opening in our state. So he skipped work, sat in line overnight, went on camera for all the public to see in the entire state, probably the nation, and then he was surprised when his company, who was a drug-free environment, said, you're fired. He was like, I can't believe they fired me. He's like, really? Really? Is there something missing? Yeah. Maybe somewhere along the line he should have gotten a clue, you suppose? But don't you see that in other people? See that maybe in people you know? Where you say, this is going to affect you. You can't maintain that kind of a lifestyle and keep coming in with a hangover or whatever it is. If you love alcohol, if you love alcohol and or drugs, it's going to affect you. Now, it's also going to affect you financially if you build your relationships. We could go from marriage, the most intimate of relationships, to just even friendships with those who are drunkards. You're going to be affected. Now, I'm not saying if a friend of yours has an alcohol problem, ignore them, abandon them. I'm not saying that at all, just the opposite. Draw close to them. But when it comes to the opportunity to draw close, to be personal, to enter into a strong bond and relationship, when someone is addicted to alcohol, hold back. Get them help first. And then enter in, especially when it comes to the financial connections that we make, like in marriage. Sometimes they never do. Do not, underline that if you would, just right there in your scripture, right there in your handout. By the way, there's a handout inside your bulletin today for you to follow along, a little outline to fill in. Underline that. Do not join those who drink too much. Could it be more clear? There's wisdom in that, isn't there? Of course, wine or gorge themselves on meat, the same thing would go for that. For drunkards and gluttons become what? Poor. It is not a wise, there's a natural connection between the two. Drowsiness clothes them in rags. You know, be very careful. You know, I've had people want to get married, you know, do the wedding. And so we're spending time and I've had them come up to me getting closer to the wedding. Pastor Bruce, we're having some financial challenges and we're not sure if we can pay you. And I don't have a policy that says, you know, this is how much it is. I'm very open as far as trying to serve. But here's what my friend said, another pastor. He says, here's what to do. Tell them you'll take an equal amount to their bar tab, to their alcohol tab. He said, you'll be rolling in it. Yeah. So here's what's happening. People are charting out their costs. And of course, that's got to be where it's at, you know? And then, well, yeah, the pastor, well, he's going to officiate, but that's, you know, Bruce is easy. You catch what I'm thinking? Why does that choice ever even have to be made? Why have we placed alcohol at the center of most of our most important gatherings? Well, we got to toast each other. We got to have champagne. We got to have do we? Could we as believers say, I'm not going down that non-wise route. I'm going a wiser way. I'm going to live in a different environment instead because it will lead to poverty. In fact, statistically, I hate to bring this up. Most people would increase their giving to the church if they did the same thing with the church and said, I'm going to give to the body of Christ at least equal to what I spend in my life on alcohol. Now, you might be saying that doesn't affect me, but it does some, quite a few. But alcohol can really distress those things. Let me talk about this, joining with those who drink too much. Remember, I was talking about that era in my life that I was just partying. It was my sad end to see many of those friends never make it out of the environment that I helped lead them into. One of my close friends killed himself on a DUI on a motorcycle right in my hometown, Hillsboro. And it's like years and years later, but he was never out. He'd broken up with his girlfriend and drank away his sorrows and went out on his bike and 90 miles an hour killed himself. And I go, whoa. Why? That is so hard because I joined myself to someone who loved that world and I couldn't reach him even though I was on stable ground, even though I was solid in both Christ and sobriety. You know? So there's a cost relationally as well as a cost financially. Let's move on. Time's hastening here. It can distort your judgment. So finances are one thing, but if that's all it affects, that's not the most important thing. But your judgment. your judgment. In fact, some people say, well, I drink to relax. And often they mean relax their moral standards, relax their decision-making. Leadership is often thwarted by alcohol. This is a real interesting one. At the end of Proverbs, you know Proverbs 31 for the woman, the woman of Proverbs 31. But here, it's talking about a king. It says, it is not for kings, Lemuel, that's the name of this king, it is not for kings to drink wine. Kind of go, what? I thought kings, you know, talk about that financial thing, they don't have the worries of finances. Of course it's for kings to drink wine. No. He says, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer. Why? The judgment thing, the leadership thing. Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Do you want a clear-headed judge? Do you want a clear-headed king and leader? Do you want a boss who's drunk all the time? Or one who's clear-minded? You know? Same thing. You may say, well, why am I not getting promoted? It could be that your lifestyle and the choices that you're making are preventing people from seeing you as clear-minded. Yeah, it affects leadership. Leadership is thwarted. We need leaders who have clear minds. In fact, you know what the scriptures say for church leaders? Isn't it interesting that each time the requirements for church leaders are listed, elders and deacons, what's one of the qualities that's listed? Not addicted to wine. Not given to much alcohol. I mean, it could be that your position even in church leadership is affected because of your lack of sobriety. You suppose? Yeah. God's calling us. And it's not that we say, well, therefore I won't lead. No. He says, it's a good thing to aspire to lead. But aspire with this saying, I'm going to be clear-headed. I'm not going to let that control me. I'm going to be God's man in a leadership style, leadership position. Well, I'm meddling now, aren't I? Let beer be instead, this is continuing that same 31. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Now, we're talking about, you know, you've heard of it, take a swig of whiskey because I'm taking out the bullet. You know, there were times, especially these kind of times, there was no anesthetic. The closest thing you had was a quick drink of alcohol to anesthetize before you're dying on your deathbed out of pain or anguish from that. I think that would be the proper use, you know. So often, the things that we have for proper uses end up being abused. Like right now, the bigger problem in many of our culture settings is prescription drugs. It's killing us. And they're prescribed, they're good things in their context for what they were designed for. It's when they are abused that we're in trouble. I mean, you got clear from Michael Jackson using anesthetic to just sleep with, and it ends up being one of the factors in taking his life. Yeah. What is it that causes us to do that? What's that verse say? He who is led astray by it is not wise. So we look at it ahead of time and hear it and say, wow, severe pain can be relieved. But that's the use, not the abuse. Are you following me? The Bible talks about that. Now, the third thing is the distortion of judgment. Let's talk about it can actually destroy lives. Write that in instead of distort judgment. Write down destroy lives. Number three there. First of all, it says there are problems. Catch this verse. Chapter 29, or 23, verse 29 and 30. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? What a list. What if I was up here today peddling this? Hey, anybody want some woe? Step right up. Anybody want some sorrow? Come right in. You know? What if I was saying, who wants some unnoticed bruises on your body? He says, I got some for you. Come on right on in. He's like, who has that? Those who linger over wine. Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine, mixed drinks, we'd say. These problems, these are following alcohol. The problems that arise in our life. I mentioned relationship problems. It's hard to have good relationships when either or both of the members aren't sober. Yeah. It's almost impossible. God's calling us to sobriety. Work problems, I mentioned that. That's why the finances are in there. I don't know the current figure, but they've come up with billions of dollars costing the American work realm because of alcohol and drugs. That's why it's such a big deal. Here he's mentioning physical problems, physiological problems. Most of our culture's physiological problems have alcohol and drug abuse as one of the components at their base. There's a new commercial out that says if you get popped for a DUI, you're looking at probably $10,000 to $20,000. Fees, attorney's fees, alcohol prevention devices in your car, you know, bus. I mean, talk about all the different things you've got. It's a hefty penalty. Not worth it. The one who's led astray by that is not wise. That's why this financial thing is so tied. Yeah. We have several groups that meet here during the week. One group of about 40 that meets here every weeknight. They're called the Happy Hour. You know, in our city with many state workers, the most tempting time of the week was at 5 to 6 o'clock after work, before dinner, when taverns, bars, social scenes would heat up. And that's where alcohol use became addictive to tons of people. And so they've said, let's make the happy hour instead about sobriety. Let's get together after work, before our evening meal, and spend time focusing on what's really important and walking in sobriety. Because some of those problems, and that's where they talk about, remember the problems. Let's be wise and help each other. There is a social component to that. What is the real cost? I'd like to use the Message version for that same verse. Yes, it's this paraphrase. This is a paraphrase. Who are the people who are always crying the blues, blues, right? Who do you know that reeks of self-pity? Who keeps getting beat up for no reason at all? I like that. Whose eyes are bleary and bloodshot? It's those who spend the night with the bottle, for whom drinking is serious business. Yeah. If you need to be armed with something to talk to your kids and grandkids about, that's a good verse. Right there. You know, do you want this? Or do you want something better? How about something better? Because alcohol can and does destroy lives. Even our furry friends will tell us alcohol can cause problems. Dottie was recently in Costa Rica and alerted me to the beach monkeys who have a drinking problem. Drunk beach monkeys. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not sure you'd put any of them in that category of wise. Maybe the teetotalers. You know, maybe they're learning that same verse. Chapter 23 goes on to say, do not look at wine while it's red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and it stings like an adder. Now, there are negative consequences. There are bait and switch, kind of like Chuck and Steve with the paper clips in the candy jar, in the candy box. Yeah. It's a seductive deal. Isn't it interesting that Satan is often portrayed as a serpent? And here the bottle, alcohol, is portrayed as a what? Bites like a what? Satan bites Sin bites, alcohol bites. Is there any equation between the metaphors there? Yeah. And alcohol is too many a gateway drug. As I talk with more severely addicted individuals who are addicted to meth, cocaine, prescription drugs, and I talk about what's going on, almost without exception, alcohol was an engagement tool for them. And they sought something different, something better, something higher, maybe something they could function a little better on, but it got them. And the bite is even more severe. Even more severe. It's not only seductive, but it creates that altered state. You could see it in the monkeys. Floop. Flopping over. Yeah. Why they would seek that, who knows, but that hereditary component. Do not look at wine, but it also says, your eyes will see strange sights and your mind will imagine confusing things. Don't trust someone that is on that altered state. It goes on to say, there's a distorted reality. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas. That's a pretty good picture, isn't it? Lying on top of the rigging. That's pretty idiotic, especially if you're on high seas, right? They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. You know? Pride is tucked into that big time, huh? Well, now catch this last part. Here's the addictive nature. What's he say when he wakes up? When I wake up, when will I wake up so I can what? Find another drink. Well, that feels so good. Let's do that again. Huh? Yeah, the addictive nature and the having yet another. Well, and most people, if you get down to what is it that they're trying to anesthetize, it's not a bullet that they're trying to remove. Usually it's a heart hurt. It's something that is deep inside their heart, a rejection, something from their folks, something from their society or their culture or their peers, a feeling of inadequacy, fears. I mean, you can identify what it is that's deeply seated within them, leading to the challenges they're having with that. Well, let's go to the last one, and that's that alcohol can, where it says distort judgment up there, change that to disturb spirituality. So this is the most important one, okay? You got the finances, how that affects all who we are, your judgment, your leadership. You've got the physical, the problems that come with it. Here's the most important one. Here's the one that Scripture addresses, I think, to the most in the New Testament. And that's the spiritual connection between alcohol and spiritual growth. What so often happens is alcoholism, alcohol abuse can retard us spiritually. It can withhold our spiritual growth. It can keep us from depending on Christ and the Holy Spirit for our growth. We get spirits instead of the Spirit. And that's what the Scriptures speak to. I mean, excess is condemned in the Scriptures. You know, numerous places. One I didn't even list there, but you know this one. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk. I mean, it's just real clear. It could not be clearer than that. Do not get drunk with wine. For this is dissipation. This is debauchery. This leads to no good, the New Testament says. Don't get drunk. That's leads to sin in almost every case. So since drunkenness is forbidden, it also talks about drunken parties or reckless parties, social drinking, we would say, environments that promote drunkenness or excess. Let me just read this real quick. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in this body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for their evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join in with them in the reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. No? Notice that. Yeah. So that's condemned. Let's talk about what's commanded. Restraint. Three things to point out real quick here. The first one is to spend time and concern ourselves with the weaker brother. You know? Even if you do not have a hereditary bent toward alcoholism, one out of five of your neighbors do. One out of five of your friends and relatives, one out of five of your grandkids and kids do have a bent toward alcoholism. For their sake, for your love for them, I encourage you. Restrain. Sometimes I hear parents say, well, you know, my kids are going to drink anyway, so I decided I'd just let them drink at home. We just brought the alcohol home, and we had the parties at our house. Statistically, those kids end up dead on the highway more and in higher accidents. You see, did that really help? Statistically, you'd have to look at the facts and say, no, it really didn't. For the weaker brother, you know this verse from Romans, 14. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Isn't that the highest ideal for all of us? Not what do I want or even, well, what can I get away with? It's not going to affect me. It'll never bite me. Instead, you're saying, I'm going to act in love to those around me. I want to help them. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know to be good. Do not let what you know to be good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Love is that number one goal and need there. Of course, I need to mention this. Self-control comes from spirit control. Self-control is listed in the nine fruit, listed as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you want to grow in self-control, yield yourself, the Bible says, to the Holy Spirit's leadership. This fruit will spring forth in your life, one of which is self-control. It's in direct contrast to lack of control that comes from drugs and alcohol, God or spirit control. One more, and I want to mention this from that verse that says, do not get drunk. What's the second part of that? But instead, underline that, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with spirits, but fill yourself. I mean, in fact, it says, let yourself continually be being filled, if you were to go with a literal translation. Let yourself continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's this process that says, this isn't a one-time thing. This is an ongoing process. You would not seek anything to fill that spot that God has placed in you for His relationship with you. Focus on Him. Jeremiah 2 verse 13 said, my people have committed two sins. They've ignored me, the source of living water, and they've dug cisterns for themselves. You know, Jesus on the last night of the feast, the great feast, He declared to him, he said, come to me, all you who thirst, and I will give you an abundance of living water. It will flow out of your insides, he said, and it cannot be stopped. Jesus shouted that to the people and begged them to come to him instead of what else we would go to. And he's there today looking at us saying, come to me, I'm here for you. What needs do you have in your life? What healing do you need in your life? Where do you look for other things to fill? I've got it for you. I'm here for you. Come to me, he says. He's calling us today. He's calling us like never before. And he's calling us to call others. Keep pointing to Christ. Keep Christ at the center of our call, who he is wanting us to direct to. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your call in our lives. Thank you that you desire a relationship with us that's unhampered, unencumbered by alcohol that would hamper that. Father, we're looking today to be wise, to grow in you, not to be mocked by wine, not to be distorted, instead to be clear. Help us be filled to the brim, to overflowing with who you are, who you desire us to be. Help us today to surrender anew to you. For we pray it in Jesus' name.